Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Planting Wildflowers, and I'm your host. I'm Rebecca, and I am... Remember I said to you we were going to have some awesome guests in the fall season? Well, here we are. We're in the fall season, and I know, if you look at the calendar, we're not quite there just yet. I realize it's, I don't know, what is it, a week away or something like that, but close enough. When I look out in my backyard, I can see a few of the trees starting to take on a few new shades. I'm also noticing in the morning, it's a little darker, a little longer, and it gets darker a little sooner. So you guys are probably feeling the shift, much like myself. So here we are, it's autumn, and we are kicking the autumn season off with a phenomenal guest. Her name is Amy Ballantyne. And let me tell you about Amy, you guys. First of all, can I just pause for a moment? And I know I've done this before, but this gig is the coolest thing I think I've ever done. This podcast has brought me more joy than I know how to put words to. But what I love most about it is that I get a chance to meet real people, have real conversations. Some of us have known each other for years, and others, like Amy and I, we're meeting for the first time. This is our first conversation. We're doing it. Some people might describe this as vulnerable because we don't know where this is going to go. But as women who are both in the profession of health and wellness, and have a keen desire in bringing people to connection. I think today's going to be a really great show, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. Let me tell everyone a little bit about you. First of all, Amy is a holistic wellness and life coach, and she supports her clients with personalized and simplified approaches to creating a balanced lifestyle. She really focuses on accountability for long-term habits. So crucial. Amy shares nutrition and supplementation support, accountability for exercise, eating, and sleep habits, and tools such as meditation. Amy, you're a gal after my own heart. Amy provides coaching to help individuals to unlock their unique skills in order to go to the next level in their own lives. She believes deeply that health and mindset matter. And she's here. She's here to support her clients and help them fill their cups so they can live the life that they want to live. Sounds so individualized. Amy, welcome to Planting Wildflowers. How are you?
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me today.
What a joy. And like I said, this is our first hangout together. Maybe one of many, you never know. I love when women come together and when we can agree that this is a good thing. Like having a conversation is a good thing to do.
It is a good thing to do, especially these days, right?
It is. We need more of it. Just more openness, more connection. Yes. Can we start the show by having you tell us just a little bit about yourself and maybe specifically what drew you to health and wellness?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm a mom of three active, wild and crazy kids, married to a wonderful man who's an accountant and very big in baseball. So our family is very much in sports, on the field a lot. I'm the coach's wife, right? And what really drew me to health, actually, the story goes way, way back to when I was a kid. I grew up hearing from my mom this feeling of wanting to be healthy. And she lost both of her parents when she was a little girl. So I have a 10-year-old daughter. She lost both of her parents before she was 10. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. But I grew up hearing about these people I would never know, I would never have relationships with. And this understanding deepened for me when I became a mom and I watched my parents and my in-laws be with my kids, have that relationship. And I would never know these people. I would never have those moments. And I heard about them a lot growing up. And it actually caused in me this deep, deep desire, this vision to want to be healthy enough to live long enough to know my great grandkids, to be able to, and just wait for it, bowl with my great grandkids. I don't know why bowling was the vision that I decided on when I was a young person, but that's what it's been. So I want to be healthy enough, to be active enough, to have that mobility to go and play and be fun and be weird and wild and have those experiences with them. And we know with the science of today that our lifestyle, every choice, all these lifestyle choices we're making every single day impact us long term. And so, of course, I'm not perfect, but I am trying to make those healthy choices 80% of the time, knowing that this is fuel for myself, fuel for my body to be healthier long term.
That is an amazing, amazing reason to be in the field of health and wellness. First of all, you're getting an invitation to my 100th birthday party for sure.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I always tell my kids, I want to be friends with your friends and my grandkids' friends, because I'm going to be around a really long time. And I need to have people in my life. So if you're going to be bowling with your great grandkids, I'm thinking we're both in Southwest Ontario.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's bowl. Let's bowl for my birthday.
Yeah, I love it.
I am so drawn to the reason. I love it when people get into things for the right reason, because health and wellness, there are some very trendy aspects of it. Yeah. But I think when you're drawn into it for the reasons that you've described, this is where the sustainable aspect of it comes from. And you are demonstrating through the way you live your life and the messages that you create and pass on to other people, what it is to live a healthy life. And I love so much the fact that you said 80% of the time, this is not about perfection.
No.
So I'm assuming that ordering a pizza with your family from time to time gets a check mark.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is a real person, friends. This is somebody that we can glean a lot of great information from. So Amy, tell me this, who is it that you tend to work most with? Who's attracted to your message?
It's so interesting, actually. The majority of the people that I work with are women. They are mothers of children who are more self-sustainable. So they're a bit older children. But I've had more recently a number of women who are thinking about becoming mothers soon come into my sphere, which I love too, because there's this great opportunity to help them shape the plan, to really be visionaries for that life that they want to create as moving into that next stage, right? Moving into that phase. I really believe too often we are lived by life instead of making that plan and visioning and stepping into the life that we want. So I'm pumped. I love working with these women who are in these two very different stages, the before and the in it. But a lot of the conversations that I'm having are pretty similar in that there's stress, there's overwhelm, there's a need for some time management support, some accountability, because they're feeling guilty, they're feeling overwhelmed, and they want some support in moving through that and coming out to where they want to be. And that's feeling better.
I love that. I love that. That's what I was curious about. When you describe that person who is looking to step into motherhood, I wonder, it's got to feel very overwhelming if you haven't up to that point been living a lifestyle that you aspire to. I'm sure it can feel a little bit overwhelming. And I know this, I guess, yeah, it's personal experience. I mean, I've been in the world of health and wellness for 10 years now. My daughter will turn 10 on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I attribute that shift to her mm-hmm. arrival and her creating that awareness for me that there were probably a few things that could and definitely needed to shift. So where would you start with someone? Like, what is the, and I know everyone's different and people are very unique, but generally speaking, is there a good first step in the direction of a healthy lifestyle?
So as you said, everyone is different. So I am designing a membership around those first, you know, few steps. But in general, when I'm working individually with people, I want to hear about what is the most pressing thing for them right now, because then I can help them have a win sooner. Right. If I'm assuming that I know it, I may not help them get that win as quickly. So my goal is to help them get a win, to help them feel that they're moving in the right direction. But in general, one of the things that I think can make a big difference and is a more simple step is vegetables. That's not so fun. It's not glamorous. But it's true.
Well, it's real, folks. But you know, it's really, we talked about some trendy aspects of health and wellness right now, getting into gardening, personal gardening, and taking ownership for what you consume. That's a really cool thing these days.
Yeah.
I love that vegetables, what a simple approach. It's not something foreign. We've often, you know, whether you've chosen to listen to the advice or not, we've been encouraged our entire lives to consume more of them.
Yes.
I love that approach.
I bring it into like, if the one thing that the listeners were to do from this conversation, it would be the half plate of vegetables at your main meal as often as possible. Like if that was the one thing.
Does it have to be raw? This is something I asked. Okay. So it can be steamed. It can be prepared in any way.
I don't care how you eat them. Just get them in there. Let's start with like finding the vegetables. I mean, right? Sometimes it can be more challenging, right? Different families have different budgetary challenges. Obviously, canned isn't as ideal as frozen, isn't as ideal as raw, right? Like there's so many, but vegetables, let's just step one, take the pressure off, take the stress off, just find a vegetable. Find a way to get it in there.
I love it. Have you gotten your kids to eat vegetables?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a process though. It's a process, right? My kids have started since they were babies having vegetables on the plate, and like, we'll all be clear. You have to be persistent and consistent. Yeah. But about 7 or 8 years ago, I decided for myself that, you know, I'm going to walk my own talk, and a half plate of vegetables has been on my plate pretty much every night. And oftentimes it's like a pile of salad, like a large pile. And so when I started with my kids are 12, almost 11 and 7 now. But when I started this, my youngest was really little, and even my big kids were pretty little, and they just got a little, they had their own little portion, right? Like the palm size amount of vegetables. But they saw mommy's giant pile, and gradually, this isn't like a next day kind of gradually, people, this is like took some years. But now my 12-year-old has quite a giant stack of salad on his plate, and it's a process. It's not, you can't just snap your fingers and make this happen.
Bravo though, mama, that consistency is definitely what has taken him to where he is right now. I love that. I love it. And for me, like in what you're saying, what I'm hearing is you've created an awareness around the importance of vegetables. There was no force. There was no pressure, maybe some pressure every now and again, I'm sure. But, you allowed for it to be a choice of theirs. And I'm sure there were some teachable moments.
Oh yeah.
Years. But I love that you created the awareness by living the example for your kids. And I think that takes me where I want to go with you next, because in everything that I have looked at of yours and everything that you offer, you are very much about mindfulness and creating awareness around whether it be food or exercise or any of those kinds of things. Can we talk for a minute about that? Like what does mindfulness actually mean to you? How do you even share that type of messaging with others? And I think the biggest thing is, why is it so critical for us today to be mindful beings?
I actually wrote a newsletter about this concept of mindfulness and being fully in the now. Like, might be a bit out there to talk about, but like really all we have is this moment, right? It's really all we have. But one of the reasons why mindfulness is so important, I see so many clients worrying and stressing about the future and worrying and stressing about the past and missing out on what's right in front of them. And sometimes that's where the conversation is very eye-opening for them to recognize the words that they are not only speaking to me in our conversations, but the words that we speak out loud are quite a large reflection of what we're saying in our head, but inside our head is often worse, right? And so there's this aha of what words they've been saying about, I always am stressed, I always do this, I can't ever do that, right? Like these big statements that lock us into this energy that most of the time isn't true. And I challenge people to think about that and be mindful of the words they're using out of their mouth, the words that they're using inside of their head, and to just start to be really aware of this energy that they're creating around them. And are the thoughts they're thinking or the actions they are taking actually serving what they want to happen in their life? So I believe right now, more than ever, we have an opportunity to be mindful of how we're showing up, how we're treating ourselves, how we're treating others. But reducing the pressure on ourselves, again, like we talked about at the beginning, that we're not perfect. But as we grow in our awareness of what's happening, we can make those subtle shifts over time.
I love it. I really believe every bit of that, because that internal dialogue that we all engage in, whether we're noticing it or not, creates our belief system. And before long, if we're saying that we're always stressed or we cannot do a certain thing, you say that often enough to yourself, and now your belief system has created this new belief for you that creates nothing but limitations on what life could really be like for you. So I love that you are integrating this disruption, I guess it is. I mean, when you ask someone to pay attention to their thoughts and the things that they're doing, it disrupts a pattern and doesn't allow for that belief system to take hold and to root itself in their everyday lifestyle. I love that. You're the kind of coach, you're the kind of guide and mentor that people might not even know they need until someone points it out to them. You know, I'm sure they're coming to you for advice on food and nutrition.
That's the easy one.
That's the easy one. And that's the tangible one. That's, I need someone to help me with A, B, and C. And I know that they get that from you. But then when you start asking those probing questions, it's like, wow, I had no idea. I mean, because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what's creating these patterns in your life until someone like you offers them a chance to be the observer.
Yes.
You know, just to pause for a moment and become the observer. I love that. It has a big impact on today's world.
Yeah,
if we could all pause, stand back for a moment and just observe, I feel like there would be a lot of little shifts that add up to something really astronomical, phenomenal. You have had a lot of success in your ability to work with people and create change. And I am a person who, I love stories. Tell me all of the success stories, and I am a happy, happy person. But I wondered if you would share with us from your experiences with people, whether it's food, exercise, meditation, whatever it is, if you could share a story or two with us that sort of highlights what is possible. I know that that would be uplifting for all of us.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the stories that I like to share is about a client, which I think many people can relate to. She has a tremendous amount of stress. She gives every bit of herself to her family and her work. She is like super mom, super businesswoman. Okay. Like really all in to everything that she does. And so in our time together, one of the things that she had shared was pre-COVID-ish, another female who has a very similar profile had been doing something like walking together, really simple, right? Going for a walk at lunchtime, and then it fell away because one of them had a meeting once and then they just kind of forgot. And I wanted to tell this story as a starting point, because how often do we hear people talking about falling off the wagon? I'm using air quotes, falling off the wagon. I'll get back on track tomorrow, right? These kind of statements we make to ourselves, and they simply just fell out of the habit of it. And in my questioning to her, I said, you know, like, I'm on the other side of the table. It seems pretty simple. Like, why don't you just message her and like ask her to go for a walk? And there was this like bright light, this aha moment of like, it can be that simple. So one of my clients said to me, a different client said to me the other day, some of these things are deceptively simple. I think that's the new Amy Ballantyne
deceptively line. Simple. Yes.
Deceptively simple. We're overcomplicating a lot of things. We really are overcomplicating a lot of things, that it can be deceptively simple. And so this woman has made this commitment that every single day she is going for a walk around her block 2 times. She doesn't have to think. She can just follow the path a couple times, and it's helping her to clear her head and take that space for her and breathe and move her body and feel energized and say hi to the neighbor, like all of these beautiful things. This is self-care, my friends. This is real self-care. It's not, you know, the pamper in the bathtub business that like how many of us actually do. And then we beat ourselves up because we don't. It's actually these little moments of little simple things that are consistently done over and over, where we're showing ourselves that moment of love and care by just saying, no, I went for this morning. I dropped my kids off, went for a walk. I'm like, no, I've got 30 minutes. That is what I'm going to do. That's what I feel like doing. I want to do it. Feels good. Let's do it. Yeah. We don't need to overcomplicate this, right?
Deceptively simple.
But the other aspect of this story for this woman was, in additional conversations, we started talking about some other things that she was struggling with. And I pulled out of her that she already knew the answer. She had already had this moment with her team, and she already knew the answer she was looking for. And that's what I like to remind people of, is we spend so much time looking for the answer outside of us. It must be in a book. There must be a new diet plan that somebody else has had success with. It must be on TV. Oh, that commercial looks great. I saw something on a billboard. Right? I like to challenge people to look within and see what are the things that have actually worked for you in the past. And let's start there and build on those successes and use those things that you already know how to do. The difference that I've seen in her in this one client, just from these conversations, is phenomenal. And it spreads over, it spills over into the people that she works with, into her family members, into the organizations that she's a part of. And it was deceptively simple.
I love that. Because how empowering is it when you recognize, maybe for the first time, that everything you've wondered about, everything that you maybe thought you were, like you said, looking for outside of yourself, exists within. So it doesn't matter where you go, what you do, how much time has passed, that carries with you. The answer is always with you. I love that. Oh, more people. I hope everyone listening today receives that message. And maybe you need someone that helps point you to your own source. Maybe you're not really sure how to get in there yourself and discover for yourself. But there are amazing people like Amy who are able to pull that from you. Connect with a wellness and lifestyle coach. Make sure that you are presenting your concerns so that they can help you discern where and when and how to access those solutions for yourself. Yeah. That's powerful. That is powerful stuff. I could just sit right there for a few minutes.
Me too. I got goosebumps.
You are obviously an amazing example of someone who you even said, walk the talk when you were talking about the vegetables, going back to that for a minute. I'm sure that that carries over into a lot of different areas of your life. And I wonder, how do you actually prioritize health for yourself? You are a busy mom. You have three kids. I can relate so well to your life because I too have three kids. I too am the coach's wife. Spend every summer night on a baseball diamond. When you said that, I just about fell over backwards. I'm like, this
best
is
friends.
Friend.
Best friends.
BFFs forever. Although we'll never see each other because we'll be on baseball diamonds.
That's okay.
But how do you put health first and make it a constant priority? It's very easy, again, using air quotes, to fall off the wagon. Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I practice, and I want you to notice the word practice, because again, not perfect, but the thing that I practice is being present in that moment as much as I can, because again, I'm not perfect, to say, how can I simply move the needle a little bit on health in this moment? So summertime packing for the ballpark. How can I move the needle in this moment? We're talking about moment to moment people. Okay. When people are talking about what's happening next Thursday, I'm like, I don't know. Let's talk about today. First of all, that's like a moment of health right there. Right. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about like next week. There are some aspects, of course, but like, where some people are stressing and worrying about a lot of things next week, next month, next year, I am like so in this moment because, as you know, with three kids, life calls for me to be in the moment. Yeah. And that's me showing myself self-care of not like allowing my thoughts to spiral into that other space. Number two would be things like, do we have all the water bottles? Again, deceptively simple. Do I have a water bottle for me? How often is mom last on the list? Right? Did I bring something for me? Everybody else is taken care of. When I pack for sporting events, when I pack for tournaments, I'm throwing in the tea that I like. So I know that I have something just for me, right? Little things. I have a smoothie every single day for breakfast, 13 years, every single day. Okay. Because it helps me feel good. It means that I'm doing something for myself. I'm getting those vegetables. I'm getting those fruits. I'm getting the full meal replacement smoothie that I put in. I'm getting the fats, carbs, fiber, protein. I'm getting all the awesomeness, and it's fast.
Yeah. Checks all the boxes.
It's fast and it's simple, right? It's fast and it's simple. Like, yes, please. So I would have people look at their moment to moment. And that's one of the things that I would do with my clients too, is really having them think about the pieces of their day. And if they want to, if they choose to, how can we just move the needle on their health a little bit in that moment? So adding in movement, if I know I've been sitting too long, I will get up and do jumping jacks. I will go and do some push-ups. I encourage people to do push-ups off the bathroom counter or squats while doing brushing your teeth, because unless you have an ailment, it's like you're already standing there. You're already brushing your teeth. Like, let's layer on something that can, again, move the needle that small amount to feel more healthy, get those muscles moving, get the blood pumping, right? It just, and then add on top of that.
That's so good. It's, and I love that because of the simplicity, if someone begins practicing even those little suggestions, you start to feel the benefits of that. And I love that moment when the momentum kicks in and you're like, ooh, that was, I can do this. I'm a healthy person after all. Let's keep going. What else can I do? And then they're practicing that moving the needle, like you've described. It becomes something that is just something that they crave, really. You know, what else can I do? What more can be done to improve my overall wellness? That's super great. And a super easy consideration. You don't need anything fancy to make that happen. So excuses are out the window.
Yeah. I do ask about that. Like, what are the barriers?
Yeah. What do you say about that? What are the barriers right now? Why are we not practicing health in its most natural forms? You know, like I'm speaking in very general terms right now, of course, but we are really looking outside of ourselves for the solution to the world's problems. And by everything that you've just described, we all have the answers. And yet that is not being amplified. In fact, those messages, in my opinion, again, it's my opinion, are being stifled. Mm-hmm. So what are the obstacles, Amy? Like how do we knock them down, more importantly?
One of the big ones, if I'm being really, really honest, is the bombardment of too much, right? And I like to call it the pressure hat, like the pressure cooker. I've got my hand on my head, okay? So there's all this stuff coming at us, social media news, like messages from school, all this, emails, right? All this stuff coming at us. And the media programs tell us that in order to be healthy, you've got to do these 25 things well every single day on top of your real life. And I go,
not deceptively simple.
Baloney. It's not deceptively simple. It's like too much. It was one of the biggest lessons I had when I first got started in wellness coaching was I made these beautiful giant plans and nobody would do anything because it was too much. And I'd be like, but I did all this work and it's going to work. No, one thing at a time, one thing at a time, celebrated like crazy because women don't celebrate themselves nearly, not even like a little bit, right? We're always beating up ourselves for pretty much everything. So if we do something, we actually say, wow, I'm so proud of myself that I did that. And the next time you do it, wow, I am so proud of myself that I did that. And this energy, this is where the momentum comes from. And this, the other big thing is because we're bombarded by so much and we're so busy, right? We're back to the chaos, as you know, three kids out in the sports, like, we went from nothing to, right? Yeah. I know, you know.
I do.
And sometimes we just forget. And then the words that I just so dislike of, I fell off the wagon, come out of our mouth, when in fact, it was just simply that they forgot. So one of the biggest obstacles is, how are you going to remind yourself that this is in fact a priority? Because all of the other things that you're doing are likely pretty built into you already, right? You get the kids' lunch made. I mean, I've already got the little fill out the form for school health check. You know, like I've already got that built in as a habit, right? We've already got these fill in the water bottle. I mean, you don't even think, you just go, right? But when it's something sometimes for us, again, lowest thing on the list, and we already have 400 things on the list. So is it likely to be remembered? So let's take the pressure lid off and put some reminders, some things that are annoyingly reminding. When I was frustrated by the fact that I hadn't created a strong enough habit around brushing teeth with my children, if you come to my house right now, there are annoyingly big signs around our main floor that say, brush your teeth. And I mean, not little sticky notes. Big sign. So when people come, not during COVID, but when before that, they would see the sign on the front door that said, not on the outside, on the inside, did you brush your teeth? People would be like, I brushed my teeth. but this is what I mean.
This is so good.
I take the pressure off myself by giving myself these reminders and annoying bright posters, because yes, it's a funny conversation starter. And can we help more people brush their teeth? Sure. Right. But sometimes we need that to disrupt. We already talked about that concept, to disrupt the pattern, to, you know, you, if you're always having the snack, put a really annoying note on the snack cupboard that says, do you really want this?
Yeah.
And when that note stops working, you got to move the note or put it in some other different way, because we'll start ignoring it again.
Yep.
Right. So some of the barriers are simply that life is so busy, and that's not an excuse. It's a reality. And so how can we help the remembering process happen? And I also like to talk about the why. When people come to me saying that they want to lose weight, which is not usually my target group anymore, I really want to know, like, there's got to be more to it for me to work with them. I want to know what's the deeper why. If there's a really deep, real reason beyond I just want to look good in a bathing suit, then I will consider working with them. But this, the why has to be strong in order for us to move this task up on our priority list of already 400 things deep, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The why is, I mean, it's the root of everything. It'll bring you back to center constantly, regardless of what it is that you're pursuing. I'm enjoying everything that you're sharing about creating reminders around those healthy steps,
yeah.
Or removing things, the obstacles. I know you're really big on supplementation, and so am I, because I really believe that you can eat an incredible diet. You can be a super clean eater. You can do all the things, but there are nutritional gaps, even in the best of diet. So supplementation for me, and I know that this is a debatable topic for a lot of people, but it is a fact to me that supplements are key to everything.
Yes.
And I had a conversation with a group of friends just last week, actually. And one of the girls, I know she'll be listening today, so I hope she smiles when she recognizes this conversation, mm-hmm. but she was saying, I have good supplements. I own them already. And yet I don't take them. I haven't been taking them. And I know for fact that she is not the only person. And just like any other habit, it's one that you have to create a routine around and all that kind of thing. But I wonder specifically with supplementation, like, how do we get ourselves to that place where we're just doing it? Mm-hmm. Is it as simple as what you've already described in creating reminders, or is it educating ourselves about the pitfalls of not taking them? Or maybe it's all of those things.
Well, one component is it can be a little bit individual. Some people really like facts and details, the science. Some people like to be a part of the community of, I'm doing this because I know that this is something that other people who are really healthy do. This is like the top performers. They do this, right? Others, their reason for wanting to take it is because they know it feels, when they do take it, they feel great. So that helps them. But what I would say is step one in creating a habit like supplements. If I were to come into this friend's house, where would I find the supplements? Are they tucked away in a cupboard? Are they hidden behind something? Are they still in the box? Has it been opened? People talk to me all the time. The supplements don't work. I'm like, have you tried them? Have you used them? Well, no. I'm like, you have to actually put them into your body, right? Anyways, so the question I would ask that person is, what are you already doing right now that you never miss, no matter what? Like, mm-hmm. there could be a hurricane and you would never miss it. Like, you go to the bathroom when you wake up. Some people have coffee, right? Like, what is a thing that you already do that is like 100% certain you're going to do it?
Got it.
That's what we want to tie supplement, something like supplementation to, meaning can you put your supplement bottles in the coffee cup you're going to pour your coffee in?
Oh,
because you're definitely going to remember, because you can't pour your coffee into the cup.
Right. Right. Oh, I love that.
Like, yes, we can put reminders on our phone. Yes, we can put sticky notes. Yeah. Like, but I also would ask people to consider, you know, how serious are you about feeling better? Like, how serious are you really? And let's talk about the why behind that. And when they understand the science of that supplement, how it can make a difference. And we put strategies like put it right with a thing you're for sure not going to miss. It doesn't mean they're going to be 100% following through every time. But again, if we set the system up with 90% certainty that they can follow through, they're more likely to follow through. And what if instead of trying to be 100% compliant every single time, meaning you take it every single day without ever having problems, what if you just aim for, in that first week of taking it, 3 times? Can you hit 3 times? And every single time you celebrate it with a friend, "Friend, I just took my supplements." Or you may do a checklist. Some people only need a checklist on their fridge, right? It's like understanding yourself and what you need in order to follow through with something. Some people need that friend. Some people need a checklist. Some people need to write on Facebook, whatever. The point is that you have that accountability structure. You are looking, how do I stop the barriers, right? Actually thinking through, what are the barriers? That's what I would start with for the supplement, friend.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I mean, I was guilty of that in the past before too, but having been someone now who uses them very regularly, in fact, as I was developing my habit, I wasn't checkmarking or anything. It was almost like this internal competition that was going on. It's like, okay, so I did it for a week now. I'm not going to fall off the proverbial wagon on day 8. There's no way. I didn't come this far just to let it all go. Yes. And now, you know, I'm 2 years consistent with it, so much so to the point where in the beginning, if I would lay down in bed at night and it would click in my head, "You forgot your supplements," I would physically get up and take
them.
It wasn't the absolute ideal time to be taking them, but I didn't want to break the chain. And I'm not a competitive person by nature. But internally, I was like, "Oh, no, you can't not skip a day. You've come so far, you can't skip a day." And that's how it's worked. And now who would blow it after 2 years? I'm not going to blow it after 2 years. Come on.
Yeah.
It is that habit forming comes in the shapes, and it comes in different ways for different people. So I love that insight. Thank you so much for that. Let's jump to one of my favorite topics, because health and wellness is not health and wellness holistically if we don't take a look at mental wellness. Mm-hmm. Definitely a much more talked about topic these days, and for that I'm very grateful. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, in your work, in your practice with your clients, how are you seeing it present itself, and how does it work its way into the work that you're doing?
Thank you. I am so glad that the conversation has opened up as well. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. There's a group of people already who have seen so much benefit in going and speaking to a counselor or psychologist. And then there's another group of people who have not ever tried it. And I would use this moment to like shout from the rooftops that it is very healing to have someone to just have listen to you. Now, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. And I tell people that right away. Mm-hmm. So I deal more in the now moments and very rarely touch on the past. So now, a little bit on the future, right? Planning, that kind of thing. But it can be very healing and beneficial to work with individuals who have that strength, who have that skill set. And so I have had opportunities where sometimes the conversation needs to go further, but not with me. And so I ask that permission to refer them to an individual that can support in that alternate way. But that's what I love about the holistic approach too, is that it's realizing, just like our life is not one silo, right? We have so many different aspects of us. Having a variety of different people and well-being in your corner, right, is what can move people forward, to help them feel better. Lots of people that work with me have personal trainers also. Lots of people who work with me go to massage therapists, right? Like, there's having your team around you is so critical. It's like this concept. We went from knowing that, what is the statement? It takes a village to raise a child, right?
Yes.
We still are that same small human. We're just in a bigger body, right? We're still that person, that little baby. We still need to be nurtured. We still need that village around us, whether we're one or we're 85 or 100, like, we still need the village. So who's in your village? And the things that I would support people on in their mental well-being would be a lot, things like self-talk. Right? We already talked about that a little bit. Being mindful of words, taking time to breathe, exercises to reduce anxiety, talking about supplement. I help with people with supplementation around nutrients we know from science that have been beneficial for people who have challenges with mental health. So helping individuals with those kinds of things. I'm so glad the conversation is open.
You and me both. Mm-hmm. The more we normalize it, mm-hmm. the better off everyone will be. Because if you have never experienced any adverse mental wellness, then if you ever do, you will already know the steps to take to move yourself through that experience. You will feel supported. You will feel nurtured. I love the phrase, it takes a village. I love it so very much. And I believe you 100% because we are still that same person. I've often heard, I have a mentor who I love, who's like, sometimes when you're sharing something with someone, you have to think about how it's being received. And you think about who you were as a child. Think of yourself as a 7 or 8 year old girl. And how would you say it to yourself? Yes. We are still that same young soul, you know, very tender in spirit. And having a team, building a team, having someone like yourself in your corner, in my corner, to help guide me through some of the things that I am not an expert in. What a transformative experience for people. I'm sure the work that you do must feel extremely gratifying, very rewarding.
I feel lucky, grateful every day, every single day. Yeah.
I could talk, and I have a feeling we probably will talk again. Yes. I want to know in a moment, I'm going to find out all of the different ways that we can follow along on your journey, because I know listeners are going to want to stay dialed into where you're at, what you're up to next, and all of those good things. But I'm curious, in speaking about mentors or guides, I know that you mentioned grandparents, and I feel quite certain that they would serve as guides in your life. Although you didn't meet Earthside, I'm sure they have guided so much of what you've done with your life. But who can you speak to today about being a mentor to you? Who guides you in your life?
Oh, man, long list. I believe that guides don't necessarily have to be physically with us, as you said. One of the big ones has been Wayne Dyer. Huge, oh, huge, huge guide. We don't have time for that story, but so much of his work has made a difference for me. I made a big shift in my life because of Brendon Burchard and some of his work. I had a very influential female in my life who was killed in a car accident a few years ago. And she was a big part of my growth journey during university. I feel like every single moment there's an opportunity to learn and be shifted and mentored if you're open. So even my clients, my kids, holy smokes, my kids, my biggest ones. I learned the most from them about myself.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They dig out all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. So if you haven't heard of Wayne Dyer before or Brenda Burchard, let me guide you to some of their work. Make sure you check out the show notes and let's fill those show notes, Amy, with all of the different ways that we can find you. So you've got a website. I know you're on social. Where can we find you?
Yes. Yeah, so my website is just my name, amyballantyne.com. On Instagram, it's Amy Ballantyne. You can find me in all sorts of places. Instagram is probably the best one, but Facebook, my page is amyballantyne.official. And I have a self-love program. It's
yes.
Videos, very short. You know, this is the thing, like I talked about a few times, I think, simple, small activities that you can fit in for a few days to raise your level of self-love. I'd love to have people access that. It's right on my Instagram links there. And those would be the main ways to reach out with me. For sure.
Okay. I'll make sure all of that is easily accessible for everyone. Yeah, I'm going to check out that self-love program too. I'm always open. Yeah. Like you said, guides and mentors are all around us if we have this willingness to accept and receive what's being offered to us. And I just love it. Yeah. I cannot believe, honestly, that we're both from Southwestern Ontario, that we're baseball families, three kids, all the things. I feel like this conversation was destined to happen. And I think that's the beauty in being open to meeting new people. Yes. So if you're someone who's listening, who hasn't reached out in any kind of social way lately, I'm going to encourage you to do that because you just never know who you're going to have an opportunity to connect with. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Amy, I can't thank you enough for your time today. Mm-hmm. You have been such a lovely guest. And I'm certain to follow along with you and check out all of the things that you're doing. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for making the time to be with us on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm super pumped for us to like connect.
To do all the things.
Yeah, all the things.
So good. All right, friends. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I'll look forward to seeing you again real soon. Mm-hmm.